I appreciate your faithfulness so much. Let's take our Bible and let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel. And let's go to chapter 13 this morning. Chapter 13. And if you did not receive a handout, maybe we missed you when you came in. Would you lift your hand up real high and let our ushers see you and give you one of those? 1 Samuel chapter number 13. And if you need a handout, just lift your hand up real high. Our ushers will be glad to give you one of those. Anybody that we missed? All right. 1 Samuel 13. You know, the Apostle Paul knew that as believers, as he wrote to the church, he knew as he wrote to us that we're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle here on earth. And the Apostle Paul knew that as believers, we have an enemy. I want you to look in your handout at the very top, and I want you to notice what he wrote in Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Look at the top of your handout. It says, "Finally, my brethren," he's writing to believers, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God." Now, wait a minute. If you're going to put on an armor, what is if I'm putting on an armor, that means I'm preparing for what? I'm preparing for battle. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of," and here he's going to identify who our enemy is. Who is it? The devil. Now, Paul knew that we were in a battle. And he also knew that when you're in a battle, there's no place for fear. If you look at the screen, he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, and he said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of what? Of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." No place for fear. Well, here in our text, the nation of Israel, God's people, were in dire straits. Their king, King Saul, and 600 of his warriors are in the city of Gibeah. They are surrounded by their enemy, the Philistines. So get the picture. You got Saul, 600 warriors, they're in the city of Gibeah, and they're basically trapped in there because the Philistines have the whole city of Gibeah surrounded, so they're trapped. Not only that, the Philistines had eliminated all the blacksmiths in Israel, so therefore there was no way for Israel to be able to make more weapons to be able to fight with. Look back at chapter 13, verse 19. It says, "Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears." Now, there were two swords left in all of Israel. Two swords. And the people that had swords were, first of all, King Saul. He had a sword. And the other person that had a sword in Israel was Jonathan, his son. Look down at verse number 22. It says, "So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found." So in the whole nation of Israel, the Bible says that there were only how many swords? There were only two swords. So we've got two swords here. And these swords were actually, I used these. These are Walk Through Bethlehem swords. Our Roman soldiers use these, don't they, Pastor Larry? And I'm hoping that the Roman soldiers don't get mad at me for having these and attack me this morning. Because you don't want to mess with me this morning. You don't want to come at me this morning. Don't even think about it. Because I got two swords in my hand. One of them was whose? Yeah, well, we got two here. By the way, I don't know why this is, but one of them's bigger than the other. I guess we don't trust some of the guys with the big ones. And exactly, that's what we did in the 9:30 service. We said the big one was King Saul's. And who did the other one belong to? His son Jonathan. Now, what I want to do is I want to fast forward, and I want to actually tell you how this story ends up. You got Israel surrounded by the enemy. You got King Saul with 600 men surrounded by the Philistines. Looks like there's no hope. You only got two swords in the whole, you know, among all the guys, two swords. One had Saul, one Jonathan. Now, let's go to how the story ends. Go to chapter 14 and go over to verse 22, and let me show you how this thing ends. It says, likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines, what? What in the world? They fled? Well, they had them surrounded. Even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So you got Israelites chasing Philistines. Verse 23. So the Lord saved Israel that day. Here you've got an incredible victory. You got guys that were hiding for fear that's come out of the holes. They're chasing Philistines. You got the Philistines fleeing. You got Israel chasing them. You've got a mighty battle being won this day. How in the world did this incredible victory take place? Well, it was actually initiated by the courage and the valor of one man. Now, I know some of you think, well, it had to be King Saul. But actually, let me surprise you, it was not King Saul. Now, it was one of the men with the sword, but it wasn't King Saul. It was his son, Jonathan. Do you desire to live a life of victory? Do you? Say amen if you do. Do you want to be able to win battles against our enemy, Satan? I think you do. Do you want to inspire and be able to lead other people to great victories? Well, here's the good news. If you're saved today, you can do that. The Bible says this. Look in your handout. Ephesians 3:20. Paul wrote to the church. And Paul said this to him. This is an encouraging verse, isn't it? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding. Speaking about God there. The him is God. Now unto God that is able. I like that phrase right there. He's able. Well, what's he able to do? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You can be a mighty warrior for God. You can courageously win battles for the Lord. How can you do that? Well, what I want to do is I told you the situation. Israel's surrounded. There's only two swords in the whole nation. And then I fast forwarded and I took you all the way over here to the end of the story. And I showed you how Israel was whooping up on the Philistines. Well, what in the world happened in between that would allow Israel to be able to do that? Well, that's where I want to study Jonathan, the guy with the sword. And I want us to see how he won this mighty battle. And then I want us to make application to our life. We're going to draw four principles from the life of Jonathan about how we can courageously win battles for the Lord. And the first one is this. Number one, in your handout, if we're going to win battles, we got to trust God for the impossible. Trust God for the impossible. Now, you know, and by the way, impossible is in quotes there because that's what other people say. Other people say, well, that's impossible. You can't do that. Well, trust God for what other people say is impossible. Now, remember what we said. Saul had 600 warriors. They're hiding out in retreat in Gibeah. Where's Saul? Well, look at verse 2. Go to chapter 14, verse 2. It says, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah. So he's waiting in the farthest part. He's back as far as he can in Gibeah. Notice, under a pomegranate tree. And so you got King Saul. Okay, I'm going to put Jonathan's sword right there. And you got King Saul. And here's what he's doing. You ready? That's what Saul's doing. Saul's got his sword leaned up against the tree, and he's just sitting under the pomegranate tree, I guess hoping something's going to happen, hoping for something good, hoping that, something good might happen. And so he's just kind of just sitting there. That's what he's doing when this story's unfolding. Now, Jonathan, on the other hand, is another story. Jonathan's tired of sitting. Jonathan is like, you know what? This do-nothing plan isn't for me. So Jonathan looks at his armor bearer and notice what he says to him in verse 6. Go to chapter 14, verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bears armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And so what he's saying there, he's saying, hey man, Just to paraphrase, he's saying, these guys, man, they don't want to do anything, including my dad. So what you say, me and you go out and fight some Philistines? Because God is able to save by many, by 600 here, or you know what? My God's able to save by few. You know who the few was, don't you? Him and his armor bearer. An army of two. Now a person looks at that and says, well, that's impossible. Jonathan wasn't afraid to try the impossible. In your handout it says, you know, God has a history of using the insignificant to accomplish the impossible. You just look through the Bible and God has a history of taking people that the world thinks is insignificant, and He uses those people to accomplish the impossible. What other people said was impossible. If you look in your handout, Matthew 19:26, but says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are what? Are possible. Can I get an amen to that? What are some things that you'd like to see God do through you? Think about that. What is it? What are some of your spiritual goals? You know, maybe it looks impossible to you. Maybe you're like, man, one day I want to be able to get up and I want to be able to teach the Bible to people like you do, Pastor Dan. Man, I want to, one day I'd like to pastor a church or be a youth pastor. I'd like to work with teens, or I'd like to work over here with the kids and be able to teach them. Man, I'd like to be able to get in the Bible Institute and graduate with my 3-year Bible diploma and prepare for maybe going to the mission field. Or maybe you say, I want to go on a missions trip like these 40-something people that are going right now. And as you think about some of your spiritual goals in your life, maybe they look impossible. Maybe the odds look too great. Well, remember what we read. Paul said that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You see, when people find ways to accomplish, quote, the impossible, obviously it wasn't really impossible, or they wouldn't have been able to do it. They simply had the faith and they had the passion to attempt and to accomplish what other people said was impossible. While other people are sitting under trees, while you got some people back here and they're just kind of sitting under trees and they got their sword leaned up against the tree there and they're listing all the reasons, you know, why it just can't be done. You got other people, they grab their sword, they take it in hand, and they go out and they win mighty victories for God. And they go out and they achieve the impossible. If we're going to courageously win battles, we've got to trust God for the impossible. You see, there's really only one thing for a believer today that is totally impossible. You know what is impossible? It's impossible for you to do? Look in your handout, I'll show you. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. You cannot please God. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's God. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God wants you to trust him to win mighty victories over our adversary. But it's impossible for you to do it apart from faith. But that leads me to my next point. These all build on each other. Number two, the second principle we learn from Jonathan is not only to trust God for the impossible, but number two, leave your place of safety. Leave your place of safety if you want to win battles for God. In your handout, let me give you the next statement. It says, winning spiritual battles begins with trusting God in your inner heart. So that's the first point, right? Trust God for the impossible. Hey, if you're going to win battles, it starts right here. Right here. It's got to start right here. If you're going to win battles, you got to trust God. You got to have faith. You got to believe in God. But wait a minute. In your handout, it says that inner trust leads to outward action. That inner trust leads to outward action. You got to leave your place of safety. Go down with me to verse 1. Let's go back to verse 1, chapter 14. It says, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that's on the other side. But he told not his father. Verse 4. And between the passages, see, he's got him in plan here. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side, Verse 5, the forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. Verse 6, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Hey, look up here. Jonathan had this desire in his heart. Man, he just trusted God. But then he had a plan. But the plan was not without risk. He is going to have to leave the safety of the crowd back here. Look down at verse 8. Let's see what he does. Then said Jonathan, behold, he's talking to his armor bearer. We will pass over unto these men, the Philistines, and we will discover ourselves unto them. We're going to let them see us. If they say unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. Oh, they wanted to show him a thing, all right. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me. He said, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. Would you agree with me that this plan had some risk involved in it? I believe so. Would you agree with me that it was a lot safer to sit back beside Daddy back under the pomegranate tree? And so Jonathan, he could have chose to do this. Right? Sit beside Daddy. Got 600 warriors around me. And I'm going to sit under the pomegranate tree. That was a lot safer. But you know what? And here's the point I want you to get. And it's in your handout there. Look at the next statement in your handout. It says, we all have a comfort zone. But that's not typically where battles are won. You see, where are battles won? Well, battles are won out on the front lines with soldiers who aren't afraid to take risks. You know, battles are won out there where the bullets are flying and whizzing by your ear. That's where the battles are won. Paul wrote to Timothy, look in your handout if you would, 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 3. Thou therefore, my son, and what's the next two words? Be strong. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Thou therefore, and then look at the next two words. What does he tell Timothy? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do we really know what enduring hardness is in America? I don't know. I wonder, you know, is there a ministry that you need to be involved in? Pastor Larry did a wonderful job. He put together about 100 different ministry positions. And it's a perforated card, and on one side it's got a job description for that ministry position. And then you turn in the other side of the card. If you want somebody to contact you, we've been putting those out on Wednesday night all through the foyer back there, just encouraging people to get involved in ministry. Use what God's given you. You know, get on the front lines of the battle and get busy. Win some victories, man, for God. And you know, I wonder, is there a ministry that you need to be involved in? You got the ability to work with teenagers. You got some stuff to offer teens. But you're just putting it off, and you're putting it off. You don't want to leave your comfort zone, and you don't want to get committed. It's easier to be back under the pomegranate tree sitting. And so you don't want to get involved. Maybe you got the ability to work with kids. You'd be a marvelous children's worker. But you don't want to get committed. You don't want to get involved. You don't want to get on the front lines. You don't want to go to battle. You know, maybe there's a person that you need to witness to. You need to share Christ with them. But you keep putting it off and putting it off. Maybe there's a ministry that God would have you start here at Crossroads. We love new ministries starting, don't we, Pastor Larry? And in fact, you've got one starting, divorce care, right? John, aren't you doing that? Yeah, we're going to start up a brand new ministry called divorce care. And you know why? Because someone got a burden for that. Somebody has a heart for that. Somebody wants to help people. Somebody says, man, you know what? God's able to save by many or by few. Right now, we got nothing going on. So I'm going to do something to try to help people. Maybe there's a ministry that God would have you start. Maybe there's an addiction you need to break, and it's time to get the victory. Maybe there's a place of service you need to surrender to. Maybe you need to surrender yourself to full-time service. Maybe to be a pastor or a youth pastor or some other position. Maybe you need to go to the mission field. God is dealing with your heart about being a missionary or even maybe going on a missions trip. Is there a place of service that you need to surrender to? Listen to me this morning. In your handout it says, the courageous act while the cowardly sit. The courageous act while the cowardly sit. The cowardly are back here, sitting under a tree. No victories get won that way. But the courageous take the sword in hand and go out, and they act. They act. The inward faith leads to outward action. In order to courageously win battles, you got to leave your place of safety. You got to get out of your comfort zone and say, man, it's time to get involved. It's time to go to the next level. It's time to just quit sitting around. And it's time to use what God's given me for His glory. Number three, the third principle is to partner with other people of courage. You want to win victories? Partner with other people of courage. That's where life groups are so important. You know, you need to be in a 945 life group. You say, why? That's where you partner with other people. That's where somebody in your life group, you share something that you'd like to see God do through you, and they're like, man, I've been praying about that too. Let's do it together. And boy, you just form friendships, and you get excited and do it together. You know, when Jonathan came up with this courageous plan, he needed some help. So he appeals to his armor bearer, his right-hand man. And now how does he respond? You know, he says to him, you know, it may be the Lord will work through us. Well, the thing that scares me is those words, it may be. You know, if I'm the armor bearer over here and he's saying, let's me and you go fight some, you know, a whole garrison of Philistines. And he says, it may be the Lord will work for us. I'm thinking, well, it may be, but that scares me a little bit. You know, but Jonathan wanted to be honest with him. See, Jonathan didn't know the end of the story. He didn't know what was going to happen. He just knew he wanted to do something for God. He just knew he wanted to go out and battle. He's like, man, I'm tired of sitting around. Let's go do something. And so, you know, he didn't want to lie to the guy and just, you know, tell him that, oh, everything's going to be fine. No, he said, you know, it may be. Then again, it may not be. Then again, we may just get killed doing this. You know, but it may be the Lord, because he said, I do know this about my God. I don't know for sure if it's going to work out, but I do know this about God. God's able to save by many, but he can also save by few. Amen. I do know that about my God. So what do you think? If you're the armor bearer over here, what do you do? You are a nut. You are crazy. This is a suicide mission. You're crazy. Me and you against all those Philistines. You are a lunatic. No, I want you to notice what happens. This is one of my favorite. I believe this has come to be, I think, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I love the way the armor bearer responds. I like this guy about as much as Jonathan. Look at it. Verse 7. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that's in thine heart. Now, most of us, we'd end that by saying, do all that's in thine heart, and I'll sit here and pray for you. He said, do all that's in thine heart, and I love this. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Woo! Man, I like that. I'm with thee. I'm with thee according to thy heart. That is awesome. I love this guy. We don't even get his name. He doesn't even get his name mentioned in the Bible. But I love the guy. He says, Jonathan, man, whatever. I like your attitude. I like your spirit. And I'm with you, man. Whatever's in your heart, I'm right there with you. Wow. In your handout, it says, the courageous see potential. The cowardly see problems. Isn't that the truth? The courageous, you know, this guy was pretty courageous himself. He saw potential in this plan, didn't he? He's like, yeah, Jonathan, I see some potential here. Man, I think God can use us. Let's go, man, I'm with you. Instead of seeing all the problems. Hey, there's one slight problem with your plan, buddy. What's that? There's two of us and 1,000 of them. He said, no, man, I'm with you. Together, these two men won a battle. You see, the courageous see potential, the cowardly sit around and see problems. You come up with an idea.
I don't know. I see some potential problems here. I just don't know if this is going to work, Pastor Larry.
I know Pastor Larry. Pastor Larry's like, well, you know what? It may not work, but let's go. You know, let's just go do it. Together they won a mighty battle. Look at verse 13. I'll show you what happened. It says, and Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. He's right there with him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter, okay, which leads you to believe they had many more, but the Bible only records the first one. And that first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men, a whole garrison. Within it, within, as it were, an half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. They're within a half acre, and they whoop up on 20 Philistines. Boom, just like that. They take care of them. Him and his armor bearer defeat 20 guys. Man, I told the early service, that's better than a John Wayne movie right there. I mean, that's just good stuff. I mean, you know, that's just John Wayne-like right there. Whatever's with you, I'm with you all the way, pilgrim. Whatever's in your heart, let's go do it. And they go out and whoop up on 20 Philistines in just the first battle. And then what ends up happening, they get the Philistines all flustered, and the Philistines get all in disarray. They get all fearful. And verse 15 says, and there was trembling in the host in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. Man, the Philistines, they hear all these guys crying out, whoa, whoa, help, help, help. And I mean, they're just going to town on them. And man, can't you see it? Some of the other garrisons look over there, and all they see is Philistines just laying around dead. And here's Saul and Jonathan. I mean, Jonathan and his armor bearer. You know, they're like, who else is going to come at us? And so the Philistines are like, whoa, man, there must be a whole host of Israel, man. And they get all, you know, they're all fearful, and they're bumping into each other. And then God just sends an earthquake for effect, you know. I love it. And pretty soon here, you know, Philistines are running around in disarray, fleeing, and Israel's defeating them. And a great victory was won. Why? Two men partnered together and said, let's see what God will do through us. Let's just see what God will do. You see that principle of partnership throughout the Bible. Moses and Aaron, Joshua and Caleb, David and his mighty men, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Timothy. Jesus had 12 he partnered with. Jesus, when he sent out the disciples, the 70 disciples, he sent them out two by two. He sent them out in partnerships. Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, I want you to take the truth that I've given to you. And he said, I want you to commit it to other faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know what he's basically saying? Paul is saying, Timothy, surround yourself with other men of courage. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, in your handout, I used this in a wedding yesterday. But it's a great passage. It's very insightful. It says, two are better than what? One. Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. What are some of your spiritual goals this morning? What is it that you'd like to see God do through you? Why don't you pray? Why don't you say, God, bring some people into my life that'll be like-minded and will partner with me to accomplish great things for God. Make it a matter of prayer. You know, if what is the, maybe there's a ministry that you want to start. There's probably somebody that if you would just share your heart with them, there's probably somebody in this church that would say like that armor bearer, I am with thee according to all thy heart. I'm with you. Let's do it. Let's do it together. Partner with other people of courage. Number four, the last principle is this. If you want to win mighty victories, if you want to courageously win battles, number four, fight with the tools God has provided. Remember what we said earlier? How many swords were in Israel? Two swords. Now look up at here. Whose is that one? King Saul. What did he do with his? He leaned it up against a tree, sat down under the tree. That's what he did with his sword. But there was another sword in Israel, and it was owned by who? Jonathan. Jonathan said, you know what? I'm going to pick mine up. I'm going to take the tool God's given me, and I'm going to go out and win a great victory. Now look up here. You got, call this message, the subtitle is The Tale of Two Swords. Because the same thing happens today. Look up here. Every believer in here, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and I hope you have, every single believer in here, you got God's Holy Spirit living inside of you. Same Holy Spirit I got. Same Holy Spirit Pastor Larry's got inside of him. You know what else? Every believer in here, we got the completed Word of God. Amen. We got the Bible. Not only that, you got spiritual gifts, just like I do, that God's given you for ministry to be able to impact lives. Hey, let's narrow it down even more. Let's just talk about believers at Crossroads. Every believer at Crossroads has the same spiritual opportunities as the next person. Every single one of you in here have access to Sunday night service at 6 o'clock to where we're learning the book of Philemon. You got access to come Wednesday night for Bible study where we're going verse by verse through one of the most important books for you to understand, the book of Colossians. It's vital. Every single person in here, you had the opportunity to be able to sign up and take our growth groups that we offer a couple times a year that right now are going on and people are growing and learning and getting rooted in God's Word. Every believer in here has the opportunity to be able to go to a life group. Every believer in here can get involved in the Bible Institute. It's a love offering basis. There's nothing to keep you from getting involved in the next 3-year cycle that begins in the fall. There's nothing. You all have the same spiritual opportunities to be able to learn God's Word. Now here's the bottom line. Some believers take the tools and they use them for God's glory and they use them to win victories and impact other people for Christ. Other believers are like Saul back here. Other believers, instead of sitting under a tree, the only difference between them and Saul is they're sitting in a pew or they're sitting in an easy chair. And in your handout, it says they're doing nothing with the tools that God has provided. They're just sitting around. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that God's given you. That word, that phrase, stir up, means light a fire under it. Paul tells Timothy, take what God's given you, man, and light a fire under it. Use it. And like Jonathan, we've got a sword. Now listen, believers today don't have a physical sword. Why? We don't need one. We're not fighting a spiritual battle. We're not fighting a physical battle. The Bible teaches that our battle today in this dispensation, we have a spiritual battle going on against Satan and the demons of hell. We're fighting a spiritual battle, therefore God's given us a spiritual sword to overcome our spiritual enemies. The Bible says that we have the sword of the Spirit. Now, what is the sword of the Spirit? Look at the screen and I'll show you. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? It's the Word of God. What are you doing with your sword? Are you sharpening it? Are you learning how to use it? Hey, if I knew I was going to go out to battle and it was life or death, and if I knew that I had to use this sword, you know, it'd probably be a good idea to make sure it's what? Yeah, sharp. I mean, if the sword can't cut butter, it's not going to do me much good, is it? I mean, if this thing won't cut butter and it's dull, it's not going to do me much good. What do I have to do? I have to what? Sharpen it up. It'd help if I knew how to use it, right? Well, you know, we've got the sword of the Spirit, but I wonder, how sharp are you? How sharp are you? How much have you sharpened it? How much do you know about the Bible where you can use it to win victories over Satan? Are you sharpening your sword? Are you availing yourself of the opportunity and the tools God's given you to sharpen your sword? Or are you kind of like that back there? You kind of like Saul. You just kind of got that thing, you know, laying on the coffee table or on the dresser. And you're really not doing a whole lot to sharpen your sword. You see, to courageously win battles in this time period only comes as we learn and we rely on God's Word. And we use the spiritual tools that God's provided for us. In your handout, it says that the courageous fight with faith, the cowardly wait in fear. The cowardly do this. The cowardly sit back here. Well, I don't know. Maybe one of these days I'll get in the Bible Institute. Maybe one of these days I'll go on a missions trip. Maybe one of these days I'll start going back on Sunday night and learning more about the Bible. Maybe one of these days I'll get in the growth group. And they sit around waiting. Maybe one day I'll get involved in a ministry. But the courageous fight with faith. They fight with faith. If you look up at the screen, how do we courageously win battles? Number one, trust God for the what? It starts right there. It starts with Jonathan. Man, it started right there in Jonathan's heart. Number two, what do we say? Leave your place of what? Leave your comfort zone. Get out on the battlefield. Number three, you need to partner with other people of courage. And then number four, we said fight with the what? The tools God's provided. You take what God's given you and use it. Sharpen it. Let's go to God in prayer this morning.